This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Petrovic flips the puck toward his own bench and goes over to console Casey DeSmith. The Edmonton Oilers pour onto the ice. They are the Western Conference champions for the second year in a row. It's Edmonton and Florida in the Stanley Cup Final.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Impressed that Peyton would know that.
I am stunned. I thought maybe he would know the Disturbed version, which is maybe the best cover of anything I've ever heard.
He knows this because of meme culture. This is meme culture. Like, this is social media videos playing this version.
It's the Friday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. That is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, with the Cowboys practice report at 6:20 this morning. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube as the Dallas Stars season comes to an end. 6-3, the final score, and this was 3-0 6 minutes in. 5.5 minutes in, 5:36 to be exact, into this game. It was 3-0. Jake Ottinger pulled in the shortest stint of his career.
I mean, that's a quick hook, man. That is a quick hook. The discussion on whether it was the right call or not is a discussion for it's a different one on its own. It's its own discussion. But that was a very quick hook, and the Stars were, I mean, look, this game was as cooked as it possibly can get 5 to 6 minutes in. They did their best to make a game of it, and make no mistake, they did make a game of it.
Yep.
But this was one of those. Got down so fast, it was like, you know, I'm not even going to get to enjoy this.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it honestly, what it was reminiscent of to me was 94 NFC Championship game where the 49ers come out and they score 21 points in like 4 minutes. You're like, okay, you've lost. Like, and they rally a couple different times, and every time they get kind of close, it's like, oh, San Francisco scores again, and now puts a little more separation there. It was just, yeah, this felt over pretty quick, and every time you get some hope, it got stamped out pretty quick.
And we talk about Groundhog's Day with the Texas Rangers offense. This was Groundhog's Day for this game. A lack of quality shots on goal. And the third period lid was put on the Dallas Stars offense throughout the entire series. We talked about this the other day. In game three, 4 shots in the third period. The next game, 3 shots in the third period. Well, they had 2 shots in a 19-minute span last night. The shots that they took, I thought Ray Ferraro was pretty accurate. He's like, these are just like 50-foot easy saves. Yeah. And they couldn't even generate pressure with an empty net. It wasn't a couple scares. It's like, all right, buckle up. They might get one here. They didn't even come close. A total lack of offense, a total lack of attack.
Yeah, and then look, even when they did get, I mean, Edmonton did a really nice job blocking shots, making sure nothing got to Skinner at points in this game. It was very disappointing the entire series, the lack of attack that the Stars had. And I don't know if this is a matchup issue with Edmonton. I don't know if it's a lack of grit that they've got. I don't really know what the answer is right now, but it just like the whole season, you know, save for the last, what, dozen games where they were kind of like mid, you know, this was one of the best teams in the league. And you get to the postseason and, you know, they were one of the best home ice advantages in the entire NHL. And in this series, in the 3 home games they played, they got beaten game 2. They got avalanched in game 5, and in game 1, it took a miracle to win. That's your home games in the series.
Yeah, the one thing Ferraro kept saying last night that I disagreed with, I think he was trying to be cliche, the Stars had the series slip through their fingers. He said that multiple times, slip through their fingers. No, that's not the case.
They were never the better team.
Slip through your fingers is a series that you had right there on the brink. As you just said, that was never the case. They're lucky they weren't swept.
Yeah, I mean, they essentially
game
lost.
Game 1 in the comeback, it ended up being a fluke and an aberration.
They lost the series 5-0, it felt like. But, like, you did get that third period, but otherwise you got run, and it was over pretty quickly. Last night, it's like, I had almost sent something to the group text. We're watching the face-off, and Colin Blackwell's there, and he immediately, right off the face-off, like, falls face-first in the ice. And I was like, that seems like a bad omen. This doesn't seem very good. And then it was super fast, you get the penalty. Then it's super fast, the goal. Then the second one comes second. It's like, oh gosh, this feels like a team that instead of what I was expecting yesterday, which I was certain we were getting a Stars win, was, oh, it's a team that'll come out, they'll show some fight. It was a team that looked like it didn't have a ton of fight early on.
No, after game 1, my handicapper buddy Bo texted. He said, I just bet 11-1 Edmonton in 5.
Whoa.
And he was like, that was such a destruction of a game. I'm taking Edmonton in 5. He cashed out before the game last night.
Oh.
He took the cash out option. He still wound up winning 3-1 or whatever it was. But like that, it was, if you really wanted to look at it after game 1, you're like, yeah, we saw what happened. We knew game 1 was the way it was set up. The way it happened, Edmonton just, they match up well. They're just better right now.
Let's go through the game before we get to the Jake Oettinger discussion at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Franco LaFranco injury attorney text line. Pete DeBoer rolls the dice with Bork making his first career playoff appearance over Dadonov, which P.K. Subban in the intermission is like, you should have started Dadonov. He should be playing over Bork. Well, it's a Bork high stick 2 minutes in, and that immediately zaps you. And Ferraro is like, this is a must stop. This is an early must stop for you not to go down 1-0. Connor McDavid, who had been a little bit quiet recently, sets up Perry for another tap in, and it's 1-0. And we find out from the broadcast that Pete DeBoer said scoring first in this game was critically important.
Yeah.
It did not happen. That made them now trailing in 15 of their 18 playoff games. And oh, by the way, trailing in every single game this series, Corey Perry.
Yeah, here's the issue with starting Bork. And I don't have an issue with it. Like, when you're down 3-1, like...
trying to spark?
Yeah, do you roll the status quo out there? Or do you make a change? Like, you know, like find me a baseball manager down 3-1 in a series that doesn't make a lineup change. You know, you're going to, you know what I mean? Your starting lineup is changing. Whether that means you flip the 3-4 hitters, whether that means you take the backup first baseman and throw him in there, whatever, right? You're looking for something. So, I get it. I'm not going to lose my mind over that because DeBoer's made enough moves where they've worked. And, you know, like, it's like, this. He knows his team better than we do. So, I'm not going to lose my mind over Bork over DeBoer. But that's a penalty you can't take right there.
And then a Kevin Love full court pass, a 95-footer, sets up Yanmark. I was like, wait, offsides? Can we get a soccer call here? Like, what the hell? How is this pass completed? And then right after that, two shots, two goals, Ottinger is pulled. But it was a 95-foot pass that I was like, oh, my God.
That's a pass that you couldn't make, 20 years ago because you couldn't do a two-liner. And now you can. And you have been able to since the lockout where they lost the season in, like, 2004. They've been able to do that.
Yeah, that was when hockey was like, oh, my gosh, is hockey going to recover? And they had to make tweaks.
Yeah, the trapezoid behind the net and that. So that's a... it's always been allowed in the international game, but never in the NHL.
Is that really the reaction you need to have right there, though? Like, it's a power play goal one, and then the second one is essentially a breakdown. Like, why is it all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, Otter, you got to pull him out. He'd won before the last Edmonton game. It was 7 straight home games he had won.
Yeah, I think so.
Which we'll get to in a second. Wyatt Johnson then forces a turnover, and Robo continues to be red hot, scoring in his third straight. So then you have that. It's 3-1, and then the juice in the building. After a steal high stick where it looked like Kane acted a little bit, I wanted to see some actual contact with his helmet there. Harley almost scores. They kill the penalty. The crowd gets hype, and then the Bichelle hit. Oh, my God. He looked like he literally, like Shaquille O'Neal, picked up Underdog, the little producer on TNT, and picked up that Edmonton Oiler and threw him into the glass. And the place is losing their mind, and Sean McDonough is giving the AAC credit, even down 3-1 after the first period.
That was Arvidsson who went against the glass. And he's under 6 feet tall. Bischel's like 6'7". he leads the team in hits this year.
Difference between DeSmith and Otter size-wise, which we'll get to in just one second.
But yeah, they had to start hitting. They had to start doing stuff to get Edmonton off their game. And I'll say this, like, Edmonton, you know, after the first goal, it was Robertson had the first goal. That was a bad clear job by Edmonton. They looked like there was a point in this game. There was a couple of points in this game where they forgot how to handle the puck. They forgot how to skate. They were turning it over. They were just very kind of careless with the puck, and the Stars took advantage of both of those opportunities, but it was just like, it was just too big of a hole.
Start of the second period, the Stars have an immediate power play to begin. What did they end up with? 0 shots on goal on nothing but weak attempts. That's the power play that poof went right into the air. They had 0 shots midway through the second, and then a flurry. Marchment with a whiff. Wyatt, Bork draws a penalty, and that ends up setting up Rope from Wyatt. So it's 3-2, and then immediately after you get the... I don't know how Connor McDavid ended up with this puck.
Blocked by Ekholm. That'll lead to a breakaway for Connor McDavid. He's in and he scores! Connor McDavid drags it back to his forehand, and Edmonton has regained a 2-goal lead in Game 5.
Was that off a deflection?
Yeah, so I think it was Kulak. There was a shot attempt, and he got his stick on it, and it deflected right out. And then, did you see the intermission at all? That at the second intermission?
Yeah.
When PK had the VR on,
yeah,
they detailed this play, and they pointed out CeCe was outside the dots, and that puck kind of fluttered into the neutral zone, and McDavid, who is... I mean, nobody's got remotely close to the amount of 22.5 mile an hour.
And Rope Hintz is fast, and Hintz was tracking him.
Yeah.
And he still couldn't catch him.
Still couldn't catch him.
McDavid hits 20 miles per hour again. So just when it's 3-2, the roof is about to pop off the place. McDavid makes it 4-2, and it's that score after two.
And like, I'll tell you, the most impressive, what amazing balance by McDavid, too, as he got towards the net.
Yeah, he didn't even fall down after scoring.
I thought that's a fall down moment. I mean, he didn't even fall down. He had the puck control. That was just tremendous. But, I mean, yeah, that's just that was just bad luck.
Third period, Robo scores immediately. Here we go again. Skinner starting to get a little bit shaky. DeSmith had a bad goal that he let up. This was Skinner's. And Robo scoring four of the Stars' last five goals after he was scoreless in the first eight games of the playoffs. It's 4-3, and then the bad luck hits with Kane going off Lindell's skate. 5-3. No more offense, no more shots, over.
Yeah, both times you cut it down to a one-goal lead, you spent 2 minutes there before Edmonton scored. And so, to me, like, this was something where every single time you're like, all right, they're building momentum. Because after the, especially when they cut it to 3-2, I felt like, all right, there's real momentum here. It feels like a real game at this point. And then instantly to get it sucked out. And then that second time, and for it to come off of just another bad bounce, that's where it was just like, this isn't your night. Yeah. This is going to end poorly.
And both times when they had cut it to one, those goals to go back up two, there was a lot of luck that was in those. The luck for the puck to go right to McDavid, and then the luck off the skate.
Yep.
I mean, those are just like, what are you going to do? When you got Connor McDavid on a breakaway, I mean, you had a backup goalie and a breakaway for the best part of the world. Like, just pray. Just pray.
Pete DeBoer on whether he was shocked that the series ended in five.
And I'll tell you what I told our group. I think it's possible to be two things at the same time. Okay. I'm really proud of the resiliency of our group through the first two rounds. We scratched and clawed and found a way to beat two really good teams. You know, and I'm also disappointed, you know, that we didn't find another level, another gear here. Another way, you know, getting back here to this point, how hard it is to get back here again. You know, and so, no, I would say I'm both those things. And you know, that's, I think that's okay. You know, and I think our group needs to go and, you know, coaches, players, and reflect in the summer on what we can do better when we get to this point against the best teams. But there's no doubt the two best teams are playing, you know, for the cup.
And now the decision that everyone is talking about, Jake Ottinger pulled 7 minutes in. Was it the right call? And is Pete DeBoer, and should Pete DeBoer actually be in trouble? I want to take some Stars calls at 877-881-1053. Give us that hockey education, 877-881-1053. Did you agree with the goaltender switch? And should Pete DeBoer be on the hot seat? 877-881-1053, next.
Whistles a pass right side, Arvidsson to the net. Rich shot, score! Mattias Janmark extends Edmonton's lead to 2-0 in game five. The Oilers have two goals on two shots.
And that was the end of Jake Ottinger. 7 minutes in, Casey DeSmith would enter. He would give up a soft goal, and the Dallas Stars have their season end 6-3 at the hand of the Edmonton Oilers on Oilers Radio. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby live with the 6 a.m. Club. We got a little baby ticket giveaway to hook you up with during the 7 o'clock expressway, and Bobby will recap Cowboys practice at 6:40 next in Inside the Star. Shortest stint of his career, Pete DeBoer. Why did you do it? Because this response has Stars fans asking whether Pete DeBoer has started a war that you can never come back from, and whether this means one of the two has to go.
Well, anytime you pull a goalie, you know, there's the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead. And obviously we were in a 2-0 hole right away. And you know what, I didn't take that lightly, and I didn't blame it all on Jake. But, you know, the reality is if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 of 7 games to Edmonton. And we gave up two shots on two goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up. And partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
RJ Choppy, your thoughts?
I mean, he's not wrong that he's lost 6 of 7 to Edmonton. That's a factual statement.
It is a factual statement. Let me also follow up with the amount of, that's like, is that like Bruce Bochy saying,
yeah,
Mally, like, you're losing these games?
Yes, a little bit.
The Dallas Stars left a scar offensively. They scored 11 goals in the series over 5 games. I have to go back last year to see their offensive output, whether they were losing more high-scoring affairs. Your offense sucked. You know what? They sucked. So it's not just as simple as saying, well, he lost these games. Well, what did you guys do to help him on the scoreboard?
Right. I mean, look, the reality is in this series,
You scored five goals in your last 4 games, all losses.
Yeah, look, the reality also for Otter is in this series, he played 5 games, well, 4 games and 5 minutes in this series, right? His save percentage was under 935 in every single game. It was under 900 in the first 3 games of this series. I'm leaving out yesterday. When the first 4 games of the series, it was 935, 750, 880, 889. But that's just not like elite goaltending at all. And there's enough Stars fans who will say the dirty little secret is that he will come up small in some certain spots as the playoffs go on. I think he's tremendous. I think he's one of the better netminders in the game, but the problem here is, and this is the issue that you're going to run into, this is where DeBoer was last night, and this is where Bochy is, this is where every manager in baseball is. You get to an elimination game, how long can you sit around and wait to see if it's not his night or if these are unlucky bounces? How long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 25 minutes? Like,
yeah.
What's the point, right? Like, if it's the second inning and, you know, your pitcher has given up, a couple of home runs, like, are you going to wait around for the third or are you going to pull him? That's the problem that these coaches run into, because it gets late early quick. You know, and
so it sounds like you're supporting the move.
I don't like support the move, but I don't want to criticize the move, because like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to just let him, you're supposed to ride with him. If it's not his night, it's not his night. You know, it's not
okay.
His...
So how much blame do you put on him for the first 2 goals?
The second goal, man. The first goal is not his fault, right? Perry was right in front of the net.
Yeah.
The second goal, 5-hole like that. I don't know. I think Otter stopped that shot enough, you know, in his time. Would he have given up the first to Smith goal?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Like that's a great question. You know, I don't know, when was the last time Casey played? April? you know, early April.
Bobby, what did you think in the moment?
I mean, I get wanting to change some things up, but again, like, you're talking about when Pete DeBoer goes up there after and he's talking to the media. It doesn't sound like just a simple, like, it's not his night question. Because he went, you know, we've lost 6 out of 7 games. I don't want to say it's all Otter's fault.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, that just sounds like you're like, Otter, we lost because of Otter. That's what this, you sounded like you thought you've lost last 2 series exclusively because of Jake Ottinger.
I think there's 2 ways to look at it. And I think DeBoer messed up publicly by going to the second. So the 2 ways are, you're not playing well, or we need a spark.
Mm-hmm.
This was the fight. I thought Sean McDonough was going to go downstairs and fight Ray Ferraro, who's sitting right next to, you talk about the most uncomfortable broadcasting picture that we're going to see the entire year, as he's sitting there breaking down the move with Ottinger back from the locker room, sitting right next to him on the bench. So you got spark in the team. You just have to be the whipping boy in order for us to do it. I can't pull everyone else on the ice, or you're not playing well. And I thought DeBoer, at least afterwards, even if he thought that Jake had been shoddy lately and not great, he could have just said, look, Jake was the easy move to make to spark everyone else. This is more about the entire team and not Jake. Instead, to Bobby's point, he walked over that line and went to more direct blame towards Ottinger. And I think that was a public mistake. Even if he felt that way, he could have just said, look, I needed to get everyone else going. And that could have been the beginning and the end of it. Ottinger is still our goalie. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were tied at a point in time in the game, we were going to overtime, Jake Ottinger was coming back in. And we can have another discussion on the side as to whether it worked. Did it create a spark? We don't know whether the Stars started playing better and AAC got hype because of that move. But I thought Pete DeBoer messed up in the comment.
I just, and every sport's different, but still, like you could make parallels to other sports and just think about it. How would that be received? Imagine if at the end of the Packers playoff game a couple years ago, Mike McCarthy was like, look, I don't want to say it's all on Dak, but like the fact is Dak's lost three of his last four playoff games. Or if they go, I don't want to say it's all on Jacob DeGrom, but Jacob DeGrom's lost his last four. Like if you were to like.
But we need to also. This is where we need Tolo knowledge. This happens in hockey more than
Patrick Waugh, Marty
your starting
Brodeur.
Quarterback is not getting pulled. Yeah, no.
Your starting pitcher analogy is the best one because you are pulling the starting pitcher for a reliever whenever things go sideways in a game. But if you were to then shift the blame over to say, this pitcher has lost us the game, or even just say, although I don't know, maybe it is more apt to talk about a closer. Like you take a closer's role away and you just go, the fact is he's blown four saves in a row. Like, I mean, the way we talk about Luke Jackson, I don't know. It seemed very,
he's probably more closer than starter.
A lot of the response I saw on Twitter last night from people was universal of just, well, one of them can't be back next year. DeBoer or Ottinger can't be back next year because you can't have them work together after he talked like that.
Let's hear from a couple. Go ahead,
John. Real quick. I don't know that this has any bearing on Pete's status for next year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Whistles a pass right side, Arvidsson to the net. Rich shot, score! Mattias Janmark extends Edmonton's lead to 2-0 in game 5. The Oilers have 2 goals on 2 shots.
And that was the end of Jake Oettinger. 7 minutes in, Casey DeSmith would enter. He would give up a soft goal, and the Dallas Stars have their season end 6-3 at the hand of the Edmonton Oilers on Oilers Radio. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby live with the 6 a.m. Club. We got a little baby ticket giveaway to hook you up with during the 7 o'clock expressway, and Bobby will recap Cowboys practice at 6:40 next in Inside the Star. Shortest stint of his career, Pete DeBoer. Why did you do it? Because this response has Stars fans asking whether Pete DeBoer has started a war that you can never come back from, and whether this means one of the two has to go.
Well, anytime you pull a goalie, you know, the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead. And obviously we're in a 2-0 hole right away. And you know what, I didn't take that lightly, and I didn't blame it all on Jake, but you know, the reality is if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 to 7 games to Edmonton, and we gave up 2 shots on 2 goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up. And partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
RJ Choppy, your thoughts?
I mean, he's not wrong that he's lost 6 of 7 to Edmonton. That's a factual statement.
It is a factual statement. Let me also follow up with the amount of, that's like, is that like Bruce Bochy saying,
yeah,
Mally, like, you're losing these games.
Yes, a little bit.
The Dallas Stars left a scar offensively. They scored 11 goals in the series over 5 games. I'll have to go back last year to see their offensive output, whether they were losing more high-scoring affairs. Your offense sucked. You know what? They sucked. So it's not just as simple as saying, well, he lost these games. Well, what did you guys do to help him on the scoreboard?
Right. I mean, look, the reality is in this series,
You scored five goals in your last 4 games, all losses.
Yeah. Look, the reality also for Otter is in this series, he played 5 games, well, 4 games and 5 minutes in this series, right? His save percentage was under 935 in every single game. It was under 900 in the first 3 games of this series. I'm leaving out yesterday. When the first 4 games of the series, it was 935, 750, 880, 889. Like, that's just not like elite goaltending at all. And there's enough Stars fans who will say the dirty little secret is that he will come up small in some certain spots as the playoffs go on. I think he's tremendous. I think he's one of the better netminders in the game, but the problem here is, and this is the issue that you're going to run into, this is where DeBoer was last night, and this is where Bochy is, this is where every manager in baseball is. You get to an elimination game, How long can you sit around and wait to see if it's not his night or if these were unlucky bounces? How long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 25 minutes? Like,
yeah.
What's the point, right? Like, if it's the second inning and, you know, your pitcher has given up, you know, a couple of home runs, like, are you going to wait around for the third or are you going to pull him? That's the problem that these coaches run into because, it gets late early quick, you know? And
so it sounds like you're supporting the move.
I don't, like, support the move, but I don't want to criticize the move because, like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to just let him, you're supposed to ride with him? If it's not his night, it's not his night, you know? It's not
okay,
his,
so how much blame do you put on him for the first two goals?
The second goal, man. The first goal's not his fault, right? Perry was right in front of the net.
Yeah.
The second goal, five hole like that, I don't know. I think Otter stopped that shot enough, you know, in his time. Would he have given up the first to Smith goal?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Like that's a great question. You know, I don't know. When was the last time Casey played? April? you know, early April.
Bobby, what did you think in the moment?
I mean, I get wanting to change some things up, but again, like you're talking about when Pete DeBoer goes up there after and he's talking to the media, it doesn't sound like just a simple, like, it's not his night question. Cause he went, you know, we've lost 6 out of 7 games. I don't want to say it's all Otter's fault.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, that just sounds like you're like, Otter, we lost because of Otter. That's what this, you sounded like you thought you've lost the last two series exclusively because of Jake Otten.
I think there's two ways to look at it. And I think DeBoer messed up publicly by going to the second. So the two ways are you're not playing well or we need a spark.
Mm-hmm.
This was the fight. I thought Sean McDonough was going to go downstairs and fight Ray Ferraro, who's sitting right next to you. Talk about the most uncomfortable broadcasting picture.
Yes.
That we're going to see the entire year as he's sitting there breaking down the move with Ottinger back from the locker room sitting right next to him on the bench. So you got spark in the team. You just have to be the whipping boy in order for us to do it. I can't pull everyone else on the ice or you're not playing well. And I thought DeBoer, at least afterwards, even if he thought that Jake had been shoddy lately and not great, he could have just said, look, Jake was the easy move to make to spark everyone else. This is more about the entire team and not Jake. Instead, to Bobby's point, he walked over that line and went to more direct blame towards Ottinger. And I think that was a public mistake. Even if he felt that way, he could have just said, look, I needed to get everyone else going. And that could have been the beginning and the end of it. Ottinger is still our goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were tied at a point in time in the game, we were going to overtime. Jake Ottinger was coming back in. And we can have another discussion on the side as to whether it worked. Did it create a spark? We don't know whether the Stars started playing better and AAC got hype because of that move, but I thought Pete DeBoer messed up in the comment.
I just, and every sport's different, but still, like you could make parallels to other sports and just think about it. How would that be received? Imagine if at the end of the Packers playoff game a couple years ago, Mike McCarthy was like, look, I don't want to say it's all on Dak, but, like, the fact is Dak's lost 3 of his last 4 playoff games. Or if they go, I don't want to say it's all on Jacob DeGrom, but Jacob DeGrom's lost his last 4. Like, if you were to, like...
But we need to also... This is where we need Tolo knowledge. This happens in hockey more than...
Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur.
Your starting quarterback is not getting pulled. Yeah,
no. Your starting pitcher analogy is the best one because you are pulling the starting pitcher for a reliever whenever things go sideways in a game. But if you were to then shift the blame over to say... This pitcher has lost us the game, or even just say, although I don't know, maybe it is more apt to talk about a closer. Like you take a closer's role away, and you just go. The fact is, he's blown 4 saves in a row. Like I mean, the way we talk about Luke Jackson, I don't know. It seemed very.
It's probably more closer than starter.
A lot of the response I saw on Twitter last night from people was universal of just, well, one of them can't be back next year. DeBoer or Ottinger can't be back next year because you can't have them work together after he talked like that.
Let's hear from a couple. Go ahead,
Joe. Real quick, I don't know that this has any bearing on Pete's status for next year. I don't. I, I,
There's a lot of people last night who
are those people named Jim and there's a last name Nil.
I mean, Bissonnette was talking about it on Twitter. He was like, wow, okay. You had a bunch of different hockey analysts last night replying to the Spit and Chicklets clip of it or whatever else who were all saying, like, that feels like somebody's gone.
Let's hear from one of our top Tolos. He showed up in his Stars gear to the Mansfield Firehouse Tour last Friday. Kate Twiz, you're live on the Fam. What do you think?
Good morning, fellas. I think, honestly, it was a coward move by the board to pull Otter so early. Because what happened mere seconds later when DeSmith came in, he was scored on. It made it 3-0, and that completely took the crowd out of it completely last night at AAC. But I also think that there's one problem I think that the Stars do have that hasn't really been addressed. I think it's a culture issue with physicality. Mm-hmm. Yes, Carolina did get bounced, the other night by Florida, but all three teams in this Final Four that we had were all physical. Dallas was not physical against Edmonton, almost hardly at all in these five games. And to be not necessarily an Otter advocate, someone needs to remind DeBoer that Otter saved Dallas against Winnipeg and single-handedly beat them to get us to the Western Conference Finals. So yeah. I don't know, but like y'all said, one of them has to go, and DeBoer in the last 7 years hasn't gotten past round three and missed the playoffs once. So I'm not sure what needs to be done, but it'll be a fun offseason, that's for sure.
Thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you. I put up the poll question last night in the first intermission. Should Jake Ottinger have been pulled? 53% said yes, we needed a spark. 46 and change, no, overreacted too soon. So it was close there.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to say it was an overreaction because it was 5 minutes in, yeah, I was quick hook. I mean, every goalie out there that you can find, Hasek, Waab, Brodeur, all the greats, they've all been pulled in a playoff game. But they don't generally get pulled this quick. They also don't generally give up two goals in 5 minutes, right, to start the game.
Yeah.
So it's like if you give up two or three goals throughout the first period, and then you come out and maybe you get pulled. But, I mean, yeah, we can hindsight it, and I probably would have done it. But it did work to spark him a little bit.
I agree.
A little bit. How much of that was Edmonton was up 3-0 and they were like, hey,
yep,
we're not making dumb penalties. We're not going to be aggressive. We're going to lay back.
And it didn't seem like he was terrible outside of the one soft goal. DeSmith.
No, it didn't.
He made some stops. He got lucky with the one between his legs where he was sprawled out with the cane wraparound. Yeah. I understand. Again, this is where I want your hockey knowledge on the fan text. I understand you have to be the victim for everyone else. I got to make an example out of you. You just got to be the fall guy. That's it. Hey, the rest of these guys are not going to have any type of uplifting energy. It's clear until we create some type of buzz in this arena and crowd and everyone knows, all right, this S is real. So I understand it from that standpoint. I do think it worked a little bit for a spark. I just think Pete messed up with the explanation, and I don't know how forgiving Jake Ottinger is going to be.
Chuck Cooperstein, all-knowing sports czar, tweeted yesterday. He said, so how exactly do Pete DeBoer and Jake Ottinger move forward from here? Never a good thing in any sport when your coach and most important player are on the outs with each other. And a lot of the commentary you saw last night was like, even if they are both back this year, there's got to be a talk between the two of them this offseason. Say, sure. All right, what are we here? And what am I to this organization?
Well, this is where hockey historians can let us know, because goaltenders get pulled. How often does it happen with the bounce back? You know what I mean? Where you have someone established, they have to have their feelings hurt, but they come back. I mean, Skinner was getting ready to not be their goaltender two series ago.
Well, he literally did get pulled.
He got pulled.
Picard came in and he played, half a dozen games?
So I'd love to know a history project of how many times the bridge was burned. Or, hey, it's hockey, it happens, and you can cross back over.
So universally, like what I saw and what I've looked up and just seen different analysis on was people are just saying that the biggest difference here is just Otter's still considered generally a top 5-7 goalie, and top 5-7 goalies don't generally get pulled 5 minutes into an elimination game. Is that the context of one of those guys? Hasek can get pulled in game three if he's getting worked, or Brodeur or somebody else like that, and obviously Ottinger's not those guys. But, like, that's generally not happening in an elimination game and not coming back.
All right, back to the Stars with Jake Riedman at 7 o'clock. as the season ends at the hand of the Oilers, and we have a Stanley Cup rematch. But Bobby was out for everything that happened. A loaded day at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco for Cowboys OTAs. We take you inside the Star like nobody else after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle-cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no-sugar-added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Stars get crushed last night to go ahead and finish out that series. They lose the game 6-3. They lose the series 4-1. But it feels like a lot of the talk has obviously shifted towards the goaltending situation. We'll talk about that in just a second. But before Robertson's goal, did you just kind of think that this was just going to be
a give up effort. Like, it looked like it was going to be 7-0.
I mean, I'll go back and read all the texts that I sent to y'all last night if you want me to.
Please do.
I've seen Mike care more about a Cowboys segment than the Stars did about starting this game.
Oof.
Even after that goal, they don't look excited.
No.
This is what I meant whenever yesterday I was telling you. I was like, look, by the second period, by the end of the first period, we'll know. And you said, if we're down 2-0, I was like, yeah, if we're down 2-0, we're going to know even more. But you could tell by their body language how like bad it was. Here's the one I liked the most, Alec. When you don't hit Ricochet back tomorrow, that's still going to be more fight than these guys are showing.
That's right.
Wow.
And that's like, that's to start that game yesterday. I've never seen, I guess I have, because the Timberwolves the night before did the same thing. They rolled out there and gave up as much. The Nuggets just recently did it.
Yes.
Now, I didn't expect them to come back and fight like that.
And they did.
I will give them the credit of, once DeBoer made the genius move of pulling Jake Oettinger, that really motivated these guys.
I mean, but it didn't. They gave up another goal within a minute.
I didn't say it was the right move for winning. I just said it was a genius move for motivating them.
But it motivated them to give up another goal within 58 seconds.
Then they also scored, and they looked like they were fighting. I mean, like, seriously, did they not look like they... Jamie Benn plows into somebody. Bischel's plowing into people.
I don't think they looked like they were fighting until they put DeSmith out there, and then he immediately gave up a soft goal.
And then they were like, oh, crap, we're really in trouble.
At 1-0, you should have been like that.
You might be right about that. He put DeSmith out there to tell the guys, if y'all want to get embarrassed like this today, you're not doing it with Jake. You're gonna do it with a backup goalie, and either you're gonna swim or you're gonna sink. And they were like, "Well, crap, we have two and a half more periods of this. Do we really want to go through this? At least let's go out there and give it something."
Yeah.
And I will also credit Tyler Seguin. I think through this playoff run, I saw him fight the most. Throughout this playoff run, maybe Granlund
more than his compadre, right?
Absolutely. Like, Jamie Benn has one trick in his bag, and that is I got to go hit some people.
Yeah,
and sometimes he looks like he calmly gets the puck. Then there's a lot of other skills that you're just missing for him. But Tyler Seguin, I will give him a lot. Now, I don't know if it was enough to satisfy his contract, but it was the most I've seen out of him in the playoffs, considering he was finally fully healthy. And I felt very happy about what he was giving us.
Now, what ended up being a big deal, because again, before Robertson scored and it looked like this was just going to be a super depressing night of hockey. Now, it ended up being sad, but Corey's right. You did eventually get some fight from the Stars. But for those minutes in between the third Edmonton goal or just pulling Oettinger and the Robertson goal, man, listening to the broadcasters go back and forth about one of them obviously agreed with the move, the other one didn't, and they were just going back and forth, back and forth. And that leads us to cut number 9. So I think part of this answer from DeBoer is really spot on. But then I think the other part of the answer just feeds into the problems that he's had with goalies and people who had an issue with Oettinger getting taken out. This is DeBoer after the game.
Well, anytime you pull a goalie, you know, there's the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead.
Okay, yeah.
And obviously we were in a 2-0 hole right away.
Right.
And you know what? I didn't take that lightly, and I didn't blame it all on Jake. But
Stop right there. Now, don't talk anymore, DeBoer.
I was talking to Alec, but that works for the coach. Stop right there.
Don't say any more, Pete DeBoer.
And I didn't take it lightly, and I think that is a perfectly reasonable answer that even people like me who didn't agree with the move can understand why it got done. Now let's go back to the coach, because as part of the same statement, he also said this.
Lightly, and I didn't blame it all on Jake, but you know the reality is... if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 to 7 games to Edmonton, and we gave up two shots on two goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up, and partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
If lefties and righties match up, is it Bruce Bochy goes to it, right?
Yeah.
Now, if he'd have done that to start, and DeSmith like won the series, we'd be like, genius. But because it was as late as it was, it looked like, well, I'm blaming this entire thing on you. And Kevin, I love this about our show. We walk in, we had two completely separate thoughts in the conference room this morning.
For sure.
You thought one way, I thought another, and we came on air and had those same thoughts. And along the way, have tried to figure out the balance of it all and where it actually lands. We don't, there's no, nobody's judging and going, Kevin, you're right. Corey, you're right. Nobody's doing that. Yeah. We're trying to figure out the solution to the problem.
Because I do think that's a really helpful skill that people don't seem to care for anymore. Let me hear why you believe what you believe, even if I don't agree with you.
And then, and again, it helps you work the problem better. If everybody's trying for that, then you work the problem better.
And I just wanted to say, like, I understand the timeline that Pete DeBoer gave right there. But even that, I think, is a little bit misleading, not totally misleading, in terms of what he said is factually accurate. He had lost 6 of 7 against Edmonton. But let's go back to that series from last year. Now, he only counts games 4, 5, and 6. So the three games before that, the Stars won 2 of the 3, and the one that they didn't, they lost 3-2 in double overtime, and Ottinger had, I think, like 35 saves or something like that. And so I don't agree with bringing in last year's sample size.
Okay.
If you're not going to take the entire series, just because those games all happen like within a week of one another. And then just to go back to what has been an issue for the Stars in playoff series against Edmonton, they scored 4 goals total in those last three games.
No, yes.
That Ottinger lost last year, not even to mention this year.
The offense, Edmonton's defense clamped us, and we haven't been able to figure out how to fix it since then. And that's where he needs to admit. Edmonton and Knobloch have figured something out about me.
Yeah.
They've figured out my style of game, and they know how to beat it. And they have gone out and done it over and over and over again. And until I either change that and adjust, which we were giving him a ton of credit for his adjustments, until I figure out the adjustment to beat them, or I get the right talent for this team to be able to beat them, because you need size and speed.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Every hockey team needs it. There's no surprise there. I'm going to keep getting beat by this team until I admit those two things. And that's where this team is. One thing that kept running through my head, Kevin, mm-hmm. as this game started, I want to go back to as it started. Broadus said something a while back, and I can't remember if it was Winnipeg, Colorado. He was like, they don't want to go back there. And I think it was against Colorado. He's like, they don't want to go back to Colorado. They don't want to fly back there. And it wasn't like they have to win tonight. It was a, I think they're toast kind of mentality. And that's last night. That was what was going through my mind, was they don't want to go back to Edmonton. Like, these dudes look like they're just ready to be done and don't want to go back to Edmonton. And Pete's like, I got to figure something out. I got to do something. And then afterwards, blaming and throwing his goalie under the bus isn't going to be any helpful to him.
And so this is why I kind of asked, does something need to happen on that front? Because look, don't make all of your decisions based on social media, obviously. And like Frank Provenzano would tell us all the time, if you listen to the fans, soon you'll be sitting with the fans.
That's true.
But one of the things that popped up, and I know it came up on the morning show, is Bobby was kind of detailing some of the past issues that DeBoer has had with his goalie, is all across social media, on Stars posts, on just general posts about this game. We're like, man, they did Ottinger wrong. He needs to come home to Minnesota. Why can't they go ahead and get him here? Why can't they get him to go here? He needs to demand a trade. So like over and over and over. And that might just be like a prisoner of the moment. But Do you think like a conversation needs to be had, or do you think Ottinger hopefully maybe is the type of person who's like, yeah, I do need to play better, and I understand why I pulled him out, because it sure didn't look like that when he was sitting next to the announcer who tried to downplay his criticisms of Ottinger after the fact. It didn't look like he was feeling any of that.
Any fire. No. It didn't look like he had any fire either. He was just like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I do wonder, what did Hellebuck do? What did they do whenever he got pulled from games?
You know, that's a great question. I have to admit, aside from knowing he got pulled in three games in the first round, I didn't analyze his breakdown, so I'm not sure.
And so I don't know how he responded emotionally and then how he responded in the next game. And maybe that was because we all agree, Otter starting the next one if you have another one.
Yeah.
If y'all had magically come back and not given up 58 goals, you're starting Otter in the next game and you're thinking to yourself, he's going to be sharper than ever before because A, he got the rest that he needed, and B, he got his mind is going to be focused on, hey, if I really want to be the Team USA guy, it wasn't just beating Hellebuck. It's going to have to be beating this guy too. And then the next one on the way. Like that's what you're hopeful would happen. But it kind of, now that you've lost, it gets narrowed down to this one moment, this one game.
Has this series, I know obviously if the Stars were in it, whole different level, but does this series have you interested in the Stanley Cup final now? Because it's the first rematch since 2009. And I found this really fascinating. The Oilers are the first Canadian team to make the Stanley Cup final in back-to-back years since the 1987 and 1988 Edmonton Oilers. So it's been, what is that, 35 years-ish?
Wow.
Give or take, 37, since we've seen this. And obviously you're in the midst of a 30-year run without a cup for Canada.
I am interested in it, not for Canada. I could care less until they join us, you know, obviously. In hockey, like when we play hockey games.
That's not what you meant.
I'm torn a little bit. I want to see greatness be rewarded. And Connor McDavid is the absolute greatest.
Yep.
We've seen in this generation.
I'm with you on that.
And I don't know exactly where he lands against Gretzky. I didn't watch him enough.
Did you hear? I'm so sorry,
stat,
Corey.
Yeah.
But the amazingness was the further out you heard about it. Is Connor McDavid is the second fastest player to get to, I believe it was 100 assists in playoff play. It took him 90 games. The third place person was 123, and Gretzky did it in 70.
Wow.
Jeez, that's just so, like, Connor McDavid obliterated the person in third place, and he in turn was 20 games behind Gretzky.
I'm torn between that and, like, did you see that video late in the game of him and they're like, greatness demands more?
Yeah.
And he's in the locker room yelling, it's not good enough and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I want to see that be rewarded because I know how bad he wants it.
I do get that.
I also want to see Florida whoop their ass.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not like they were nice to us last night. They were like, oh, yeah, empty net. Let's go ahead and score. We got you.
Are you going to hold that
against
them?
We're going to still hit you and all that. And I was like, dang it. Not that I'm like begging for them. The Stars didn't quit late in the game either. You know, so you're going to keep coming at me. I'm going to keep throwing it back at you. But they bullied the Stars. And I kind of want to see them get bullied a little bit by Florida.
If it would have been Draisaitl or Nugent Hopkins that would have hit the empty netter, do you think then you would have been like, I hope they get swept. Mm-hmm. I hope they lose every game.
Every player on their team gets an ankle slash, a wrist slash. I want the Florida Panthers to be the Florida Slashers. I mean, that's all I want.
How is that not their nickname already? Or the Yeah. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, how we doing today? Welcome to the program.
Alec, I use, instead of the shift button, I always use caps lock, and I have to turn caps lock on and turn it off. And
I do that too.
And oh, you do?
Yeah.
Really? And our job before this was to type. Like, we were typers back in the day. And so it's
true.
It is
typers.
So sometimes when I'm logging in, I type a lowercase word letter and then all uppercase, and that's not my password. And so it's going to take me a little bit to log in, guys.
Now, Alec, I'm also having login issues because the computer has said that going to Hotmail is too dangerous right now.
Is it too hot?
That's where
too
I have
much heat on it right now.
Look, I like the one where the computer warns you and they're like, hey, you really shouldn't go to this website.
Are you sure you want to go?
It's been compromised. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Gosh. I'm going to go ahead and go. But right here, it says attackers might be trying to steal your information on Hotmail.
Well, my Netflix account was tied to my Hotmail account. Oh, I still haven't gotten that fixed, by the way, because I know it's going to take so long. So I just still am like, well, I'll get to it at some point. Maybe I'll let my wife do it. Back to you.
Okay. I think I finally found a way where they said, hey, don't do this. And I was like, I'm going to take my chances on the work computer. So I should be okay. Alec, are you having any hacking issues this morning?
Surprisingly not. Usually I'm the one that's having the tech issues back here. You know, like these computers hate me because, I don't know, they're probably as old as me at this point. So yeah, it's usually me. So I'm feeling kind of glad today because, you know, I am going to take a beating later. So everything going my way right now is pretty awesome.
So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Let's like fully pull back the curtain here.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. But also, Ricochet's plane is landing dangerously close to the time he's supposed to be on air.
Which we've experienced delays.
Sure.
And in-flight things.
So, like, could the flight be delayed? Could Ricochet insist that he really needs to eat or go to his hotel before he comes up here? If any of those things happen, Alec, this whole thing could fall apart and maybe Corey will end up chopping you.
Oh, but I don't want to do that.
I'm sure you don't.
Let's come up with a different segment instead.
All right.
Because I don't know how to chop. That's why. If I knew how to do it, I would probably want to.
Okay.
But I don't know how.
Just Google Gunther chop.
Oh, my gosh.
And there you go.
All right.
So I think it's going to happen, but I'm a little concerned that it's not like Ricochet has been here since yesterday and he's just going to drive up here. He's probably flying right now.
Alec, what I told Kevin earlier was, I have a feeling he's going to be here. And I asked him, does that make you feel better?
And it did.
And then I said, I also had a feeling that the Stars were going to win last night. All right. Does it make you feel better still? Or is it balanced? Did it go negative or did it just balance it out to zero now?
No, it went negative because you're on a cold streak.
Okay.
All right. You didn't tell me about any of your triumphs.
Yeah.
You just said, yeah, I thought the Stars were going to win last night.
I once told you that we were going to be in radio and have a long career in it. And so far, we're about 14 years in, almost 15 years. So
I'm going to be honest.
Does that make you feel better?
I thought that was one of the dumbest things he had ever said to me. And I was like, okay, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
I'll meet up for dinner with you, but it's not because I think we're going to have a burgeoning radio career. And you know what? There's plenty of people who probably wish that didn't happen.
Yeah, probably so. Tim Collins being one of them. That's our boss who hired us.
I wasn't expecting it. I thought you were referencing the other. You know what? Let's just pull all the curtains back. I thought you were referencing the other person who's in a side studio who didn't know that we could hear him. And this is somebody who worked for our station.
He currently works in this building.
In this building. And he goes, oh, it's KNC, the effing Golden Boys. Except he did not edit any of that. That's a real thing that happened this studio.
I don't even know why we had the other studio's sound up. It's not like we were spying on him. We just happened to hear it. And we were like, huh, all right. He is in this building still. And we love him. We still love him to this day.
Maybe he's listening right now. Maybe he's like,
he knows. Yeah.
I might have missed on that one. All right. So, as is usually the case, you know what? It's also shout out Friday, 877-881-1053, Frankel Injury Attorney text line. If you want to send in your shout outs, and Corey seems doubly excited. I'm not sure why.
From the 469. Hey, Corey, I just wanted to confirm that you did get your gift card for success yesterday. And if you, in fact, did end up taking a nap from all the mental concentration. I actually couldn't nap. I had too many things to do after the show. I had to take Lucy to therapy and stuff like that. But I was exhausted. So exhausted I couldn't sleep last night. Have you ever been that tired where you can't fall asleep because you're so tired?
And it's super annoying. The other thing that your body does to you that's super annoying is if you have to get up at like 5 or 6, it's the worst. And all your body wants to do is sleep forever.
Yeah.
But Then there's that day where you don't have anything to do in the morning. You could sleep probably as long as you want.
There's no
way. And then
way.
They wake you up at 5 or 6 o'clock and they're like, guess what? Yeah, your body and all of the intricate weavings in there. And they're like, you know what? Good luck getting back to sleep, you jerk.
So to the person from the 469 who texted that in and challenged me 2 days ago and then says that I clearly succeeded yesterday, I appreciate it. Now I got a question.
Tell me.
Did you like the show better yesterday, or do you like the show the way it is?
I don't really care for this show.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'm probably
kind of been your
I'm probably
MO
the wrong person to ask.
Yeah. Alec, your feeling on that? Was I a better co-host yesterday?
I don't know. I feel like it was kind of the same in terms of production, but it was fun trying to get you to break that character.
I did see y'all trying to,
I think it was the most fun I had in a while. I can't speak for, you know, the product itself. I thought it sounded like a great show, you know, I really enjoyed watching you suffer.
Yeah, I wanted to say I get it when you guys are like, hey, let's mess with Kevin. Being on the other side of it, it is pretty
fun. For a whole show, not just a segment or two. Yeah.
It was pretty fun, and I enjoyed it. You know what I didn't enjoy last night?
We really have to do this. Do it. Okay, hold on. Seriously.
Okay, just real quick, before you say this, the YouTube viewership count has gone up as we've just been BSing. So if it continues to go up with just nonsense, maybe we'll just skip it.
Yeah, my question to all the Tolos out there.
Did the Stars win?
Do you really want us to talk about sports today?
Oh my
god.
The whole day?
Or do you want us to take a load off all day long? Dude, you telling me that we couldn't talk not sports for every single segment?
We could. There might be a meeting afterwards.
I mean, there's definitely... No, it would be in the middle of the show. He would walk in, he'd kick the door open, and he'd be like, guys, y'all have not mentioned the Stars game from last night. We'd be like, yes, we did. Should we talk about the Stars game?
To be fair, that feels like a fair critique. Right? Of our sports show. Hey, you didn't talk about the Stars game at all.
Any sports conversations?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, let's do it then.
All right, go ahead and give me cut number one, please.
Centering pass, Perry scores. Beautiful feed by McDavid.
Cut it off. I don't want to hear anymore.
See? All right, here we go. Take a load off Friday.
Because not that long after that, cut number two happened. If you can go and play cut number two so we can really remind everybody how far behind we fell, how quickly.
Who has scored the only two goals for Dallas in the last three games. No one else in green has scored in 8 days. Here's another goal for Edmonton. Matthias Janmark.
You know what? Shut it down. Shut up. Shut up. I'm tired of it.
Me too.
That's why Ottinger got pulled out of the game. And then it was fine for the rest of the first period. I guess play cut number three. We probably should.
Why?
Smelling blood here early on. It's out in front for Trent Frederick. Now it's Skinner, and he scores.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeff Skinner making his first appearance of the series. Just his second career playoff game in 15 years in the league.
All right, so for most of the rest of the first period, can we all agree that the number one reason to watch that game was the two announcers arguing with each other
about whether or not it was the right decision?
Sometimes more overtly than other times.
Was it the right decision? Yes. I think it was a stupid decision.
And then, shout out to the announcer on the ice, who then kind of softened his stance once Ottinger was sitting right next to him.
That was wild.
He was like, no, you pull him. It's just not working.
It's ridiculous. He stunk out there.
And then Ottinger's sitting right next to him.
Hey, let me point out, like, he is right next to me, guys.
Yes.
So I am going to change a little bit of the way that I'm approaching this because he is right here.
And he goes, you know, it's really tough when your defense is not protecting you, when you get put on the penalty kill straight away. And I was like, oh, man, we sure have softened that stance with Ottinger sitting right next to us, which I do get. Absolutely.
Woolchuck has requested on Twitter that we take a load off. So he said, please take a load off.
YouTube count has dropped by 7 since we started talking about the stars.
All right. Okay. This is where it's tough, you know? Like, this is thumbs up, thumbs down, gladiator style right now in the middle of a segment.
You know what? From the 817, let's just take a load off and talk about college softball and baseball. I bet you thought that I wasn't ready for this.
I am.
I take you to cut number 16. it looks like mighty Oklahoma is going. Now, it's not meaning they're out of the tournament. But
when you say mighty, you mean mighty. They are freaking awesome.
Supposedly, they've only won, I think, four in a row. It feels like they've won 17 championships in a row at softball. They're down 3-1. It looks like all is lost. Are they going to start this bracket with a loss? Could upstart Tennessee be the team that's going to drive through? Could it be Texas? Who knows? Give me cut number 16 with two people on base.
Sends it out deep center field. Ella Parker walks it off for Oklahoma.
I want to point out, Kevin, in the year 2000, OU won their first Women's College World Series championship.
Okay.
They did not win again for 13 years-ish. Because in 2013, they won their second title. Since then, they've won seven. Since 2013, they've won seven.
It does feel like they win every year.
Softball titles. And that walk-off yesterday, I was at the gym whenever I was watching, and I was like, man, this pitcher for Tennessee's giving up nothing. Like, this OU, I was so concerned about him. I think Sam Landry is an awesome pitcher. I love watching her. That was a really, actually, if you love excitement, that was the game for you yesterday.
Yeah.
If you hate players celebrating, never watch girls softball. All right, Kevin, they chant the whole game. They rally the whole time. After every play, they're getting up saying LFG. Like, they are just constantly celebrating. So if you don't like your athletes on a baseball or softball field celebrating, do not watch softball.
From the 817, I'm assuming this is in the effort of being fair. Make sure you play clips of Texas. We're not going to do that right now because if you go back to yesterday's game, we were essentially live discussing or FCC allowed.
Kevin was giving you live
delayed
reports.
Discussing. Yeah. Of the Texas game. Like, we covered that in almost real time.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we gave Texas softball plenty of shine yesterday.
Yeah,
fair?
Texas got a lot of love yesterday. And then OU started, like, right as our show was ending. And I think Broadus walked in. I was like, man, this OU pitcher, she's really good. And Broadus goes, they're about to lose. And I was sitting there going, they are. Like, the whole game, I was like, they are going to lose this. And Broadus is going to be right. And then finally, the team that I was rooting for, they actually did something, Kevin, unlike the Stars.
Yeah, it was weird to see a team that you like hit a 3-run home run.
To walk off and win? Yeah. Yeah, like, to hit a home run at all, to have runners on base? Yeah, that was
awesome. What kind of magic is this? Look, the parallels between the Stars struggling scoring and the Rangers struggling scoring for, I don't know, like the entire season are not lost on me. And the fact that the Stars scored 3 goals in a game that they lost is somewhat confusing.
Yeah,
shout out to Jason Robertson for scoring twice, one game after I said he would score 2 goals. I was disappointed because I said before game 4 he would score 2 goals. He scored 1 goal. And then in this game, he scored 2 goals. And I will say that it felt like Jason Robertson was almost single-handedly responsible for my excitement level in the game yesterday. Although, Roope hints, whether it was scoring the goal or whether it was showing that he and Connor McDavid are by far the fastest 2 skaters in the NHL.
God, that was not fun even to watch. Close,
that those parts were exciting.
If yes, there were things in that game that if you just like were watching it, you were like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Robertson specifically, I know you were taking a lot of joy in that because we've been calling for him.
Yes, for sure.
I do want to point out, go back and look at every single goal and what did he have plenty of with all of those.
A little bit of space,
a little bit of time. And that's what the Stars' problem is. They are looking for too much time, looking for too much space.
Totally agree.
And not being, you know, they talked about it with the Corey Perry goal. He's so physical. He's so gritty. He's, you know, if you're winning, you know, you can use all these good words. But he gets in that and he leans in to make something happen. And the Stars are like, I need to lean away from you. And that's going to have to be a difference for this team. Somebody said yesterday when they texted in, they said, I feel like the Stars play stick defense instead of real defense.
Ooh, and if you go, fascinating.
I watched it a little differently last night and I was like, man, they're right. They try to put their stick out there and that's how they get in trouble. Maverick Bork's situation was inexperience. clear as day.
We had two high-sticking penalties that just felt very like,
one of them wasn't high-sticking. One of them I thought was ridiculous and stupid. The Maverick Bork one was a dumb, inexperienced mistake.
Because it kind of looked like, I know he wasn't, but it kind of looked like he was like, I'm in a playoff game, I'm going to spin my stick, and then accidentally hit somebody in the face. Are you right on the second one where it hit him in the visor and he acted like he had gotten shot?
Yes.
And you're like, okay.
When you rewatch that, you're like, did it even hit you?
Balanced it out with an embellishment penalty.
He was like,
because that was some acting
right and there. Kane did enough of, like, dude, him by himself, he rolled out there. He's a really good player. We know that. But he rolled out there and just beat up the Stars on his own. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, so the Star season is at an end. I know lots of people are going to have lots of opinions. I promise we are going to talk about the game more all throughout the day. But right now, I'm sad. And I'll give you a spoiler for something that I think we're going to talk about next week. And people can argue with me all day. And I totally get it. And it's fine. The Star season was a disappointment. And you're not going to change my mind about that. Like, and by the way, I'm going to cut off one of these arguments that I know is going to come up. Who do you think is disappointed if it's the Cowboys season? No, because the Cowboys never get this far. So I would be amazed that they got that far. That is the burden of raised expectations.
That's true.
When you make it to two straight Western Conference finals, then guess what I'm going to think? It's Stanley Cup or bust. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. Instead, they stalled out for a third time in the Western Conference Finals. So I'll just tell you this. I think the Star season is a disappointment.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you also credit Edmonton? I know this is maybe the most difficult by everybody out there. This is very difficult for Kevin to do.
I really do hate. Edmonton is a damn fine team. I'll definitely not be rooting for them in the Stanley Cup Final. Partially because I want Canada to continue to not win the Stanley Cup. They're a damn fine team. But, I shouldn't have said but. Edmonton is a damn fine team. One of the issues that I run into is earlier in the show yesterday, what did we do? We asked Brian Ray to remind the Stars that the third period exists.
Yeah.
They got zero shots on goal in the last, I think, 15 or 16 minutes of the third period. After 3 shots on goal, 4 shots on goal. I will absolutely credit some of that to the Edmonton defense. But you can't tell me that Edmonton's defense is so good that they were responsible for all 16 minutes with no shots on goal. Then how have they ever given up a goal?
Oh, yeah. They definitely did a good job of playing away late in the. I know we got to go. But there's a lot more to discuss throughout the
and
day.
And we will throughout the day. I agree with that.
Blocked by Ekholm. That'll lead to a breakaway for Connor McDavid. He's in and he scores! Connor McDavid drags it back to his forehand. And Edmonton has regained a 2-goal lead in game 5.
Did that shut it down for good, in your opinion?
The 5-3, when it got the 5-3, that was shut down.
Okay.
When McDavid scored on the breakaway.
So that was Kane, you're saying, ended off of Lindell's skate.
Yeah. When McDavid scored on the breakaway, it was still early enough in the game. All you needed was one, because you knew once it got to one, you would probably wind up getting a solid 2.5 to 3 minutes of an empty net, where if you can keep the puck in, and the Stars did a good job. There was a couple times last night where the Stars had like complete control of the puck in the Edmonton zone for dang near a minute. The delayed penalty. I mean, Edmonton couldn't get it out. So we saw a couple of situations like that. I was like, all right, you know, if they get it to one, you know, you'll have a good 3 minutes. So the 5-3, that's what I thought was over.
No, when McDavid scored and made it 4-2, I was like, this is because even when Robo scored in the third period, I still was like, I don't feel like this is going to be enough. It still feels like they're going to get overwhelmed here. And so I thought, all right, if you can just keep them at 3 and potentially get up and tie that again, then I felt good about it. But as soon as they got to 4, I was like, this is probably done.
I'm glad I don't have to hear that announcer again, because he's got that wannabe Mike Lang, Pittsburgh Penguin voice.
Oilers Radio with the call. Was Jake Oettinger done dirty? Was Pete DeBoer unnecessarily cold afterwards? Is DeBoer on the hot seat? And what else does this team have to add to get over the hump? We're going to take some Stars phone calls from the Tolos at 877-881-1053 here on Sean and RJ. TJ and Ennis, you're up first. Go ahead, TJ.
Morning, boys.
Morning.
All right, here's what we need to add. Three dairy and hatchers and a bread hole. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. the speed and enforcement. Speed. We need fit. We need big, fast hockey players, not a shocker. We can't finesse our way again three years in a row. The finesse way ain't working.
Do you have an audience?
You got a hallelujah chorus? Yeah.
What are you eating for breakfast?
We're rocking a steak and cheese bagel from McDonald's, and I just got to the pawn shop.
Okay.
Oh my God, I love it.
You can't slip nothing past us like the Smith. We can hear the breakfast, the chewing, and the audience in the background.
Amen. I love the audience in the background.
And you love his breakfast as well, Bob.
Dude, those are good. They're not Whataburger sandwiches, but if you're in a pinch, they're good.
Eric in Dallas, you're up next. Eric, you are live on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
The Dallas Stars are eliminated. They played like dogs. Jake Ottinger was crying. I said, don't cry, Otter. This is what you get when you have immigrants playing for our team.
Oh, God.
This is what the foreigners are coming at for us.
What?
I told these guys, it's time to change it up. You're playing like Dookie Dak.
Oh, was that the phone cutting out? Was that you, Pepe?
No, he hung up. Oh. He was out.
At first, I thought it was Spittle.
Yeah.
Then I thought it was me. Yeah. And then I realized who he was imitating.
As soon as a couple references there, I knew who it was.
No, but in all seriousness, the Finns are getting called out this morning.
Yeah, they are. I mean, look, they are incredibly skilled. Do they lack...
This is a Dallas Cowboy-esque feel.
Yeah, so look, the Stars are one of the most skilled hockey teams out there. You go back and ask Florida. I'm going to go see when Florida acquired Tkachuk. But like, you go back and look. So the Flames got him in 2016, and he went to Florida in 2020. Okay, perfect. So I bet you can go look at the kind of the line of when Florida went from, because they won the President's Trophy like the year before, and they wind up getting him, and what happens? They go to three straight cup finals. Why? Because they're gritty. You know, like, you can have all the skill you want. You've got to have toughness somewhere.
Yeah.
And
Sean McDonough kind of talked about this, that the greasy, gritty play and scores, that's the book on them right now.
Like, Liam Bischel is... he's a monster, right? He led the team in hits, 6'7", big, solid dude. You need guys like that. You need guys who are kind of nasty. You know, the difference is like, you know, Tkachuk is also really skilled, too. But he's also got that kind of toughness to him. Play, you know, it's like his old man. So you need somebody like that. And listen, Jim Nill has done a...
Because Kevin Hagman brought that up a couple days ago. Everyone was excited about the Mikko trade, but that wasn't number one on the needs list.
Right. No, needed defense, right? Jim Nill has done a great job. The Stars have one of the best rosters, arguably the most skilled team, and then the Texas Stars are in the AHL Cup. Yeah. So even their minor league team is amazing. So,
anytime there's a stat brought up on the Stars, it kind of catches me off guard, and I'm like, oh my God, they are freaking deep and loaded. Yeah,
they are.
When they're talking about, you know, Hintz is the best player on the team, I was like, oh, okay, I thought it was Mikko.
He might be the most important.
When they're talking about Duchesne led the team in points in the... what? Oh my God. It was Duchesne. Then you talk about Sagan and Ben as basically afterthoughts. It puts into perspective how good they are.
Yeah, they're very, very good. They're very skilled. Do they lack a little toughness? A little nasty? I mean, yeah, they kind of do. Like, they're not Florida. Let's put it that way. They're not Florida.
Ryan in Louisville, you're up next. Ryan, you're live on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for putting me on, guys. Yeah, man, that was a tough one to watch last night. Big time Stars fan, and dude, I trust Pete DeBoer though. Man, we've been to a couple back to back. Three conference finals in a row. You got to trust his judgment there in the game, pulling Ottinger. You don't know what Ottinger might have said there on the bench. Body language is probably pretty shitty after
Probably.
Sorry, my bad. Yep, my bad. Yep, it's probably pretty bad. I don't know. But I trust Pete DeBoer. I love the Dallas Stars. I'm looking forward to next season, man. And I think they're the best thing going in Dallas right now. So that's where we're at.
Oh, that's an easy one.
An easy answer.
All right, the Tolos are chiming in on Otter being pulled. Last night it was about 60-40 in favor of it, that they just needed a spark. And then is Pete DeBoer actually in a little bit of trouble? Fernando, Otter was our backbone the entire playoffs. For that coward to call him out needs to lose his job. No way we're blaming our 26-year-old goalie who made game-saving saves all playoffs. The bum, he's being called. Get him off my screen next year. Jim, I agree the team is not physical enough. While I love the Finns, they don't play a physical brand of hockey. Too many players looking for space and pretty goals. That doesn't work. The deeper you get in the postseason, your goalie also needs to come up with timely saves. Matrim, typical Dallas drama. We're about to watch them blow this up and drop, aren't we? Why aren't we talking about the goalie against the best duo since Lemieux and Jágr? What did Mikko do? How many goals did he score? And then Kevin Persons, the Cowboys made three straight conference titles and lost all three. If that was the case, how different would the reaction be from what Stars fans are dealing with? Clearly, there would be a difference, but how big? How much more outrage? Just curious. So these are some of the Tolos weighing in on Twitter.
I was a little curious how DeBoer is being received today outside of Dallas. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people who are frustrated with Ottinger and different things like that. So Choppy's asked this question before of, like, he's had all this success. Why does he keep getting fired everywhere? And so I went and jumped over to, like, the Vegas Golden Knights Reddit page. I was like, what's the discussion there? The very top thing is a meme about DeBoer putting a dagger through Ottinger's back. And the comments under it say, couldn't have happened to a better person. Nothing better than watching Pete DeBoer lose. If I had a nickel for every time Pete DeBoer threw a goaltender wearing 29 under the bus, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. And then death, taxes, and Pete DeBoer being a D to his team.
Wow. Yeah, my one of my best friends is a Vegas Knights fan, and he was saying, like, when we got DeBoer, he was like, you know, you're going to like him for a while, then you're going to get sick of him.
Of what? Sick of
what?
Well,
according to him, I think when they were there, like, their power play kept going downhill. Stars, I mean, like, especially at home, they were pretty good on it.
It makes me wonder, because the note, he's lost six straight conference finals that he's been in, and it makes me wonder.
Which, I mean, to get to six straight is pretty good.
Like, right. Is that a positive or a negative?
No, right. But, like, we talked about this during the break a little bit earlier. Like, I wonder, is DeBoer kind of like Buck Showalter? Which Buck Showalter's reputation was, like, he'd get in there and he'd help, like, revive a team and they'd start ascending. And then they seemed to, like, kind of flatten out and people would be like, all right, we're sick of Buck's shtick. He's got to go. And I wonder if, like, that's
Buck
DeBoer.
Buck would wear on the players, but, like, is DeBoer wearing on the players?
He's wearing on the goalie here, it seems like, and he was wearing on the goalies in Vegas. I mean, I had no idea he had issues with three separate goalies in Vegas.
I don't think Otter was done dirty. It wasn't dirty to pull him. Like, was it the right move? We could argue it was the right move or not. I mean, I think it was okay. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. Like, how long do you want him to wait around and see if he's having an off night or not? Like, how long do you want him to wait? So it's 3-4-0, and the game is over, and you have no chance. It was cold to say what he said. That was cold.
Let's hear that on why he made the move after.
Well, anytime you pull a goalie, you know, there's the reasoning's always to try and spark your group. So that was the number one reason. We had talked endlessly in this series about trying to play with the lead. And obviously we were in a 2-0 hole right away. And you know what? I didn't take that lightly and I didn't blame it all on Jake. But, you know, the reality is if you go back to last year's playoffs, you know, he's lost 6 of 7 games to Edmonton, and we gave up 2 shots on 2 goals in a, you know, an elimination game. So, you know, it was partly to spark our team and wake them up, and partly, you know, knowing that, you know, status quo had not been working, you know, and that's a pretty big sample size.
I wonder if this was Game 3. Same thing happens in game. Let's say the same thing happens in Game 3. I mean, he's not pulling Jake at that point.
Well, who starts Game 4?
Jake. Yeah, Jake would have gone back and started Game 4.
I really think Pete DeBoer messed up. And again, maybe you want to give him credit for being honest. He messed up talking about the record against Edmonton. He should have just stopped after Team Spark. It wasn't necessarily, I don't blame him for both those goals, right? Because one, the Perry tap-in.
It was a power play. What are you going to do?
Then the other one, you know, I blame the defense when a 94-foot freaking pass is allowed. So I think he should have just stopped right there. Stop short. He should have stopped short.
He stopped short.
Right there. And then, you know, is it fair to talk about the record against the Oilers when you scored 11 goals in 5 games? Last year, I went and tallied it. It was 14 goals in 6 games. Is that enough offense to still blame your goaltender and point at his win-loss record? Because that, to me, is simplifying it too much. That's like Bruce Bochy being like, well, Valdy, he doesn't have 7 wins when your offense blows.
Yeah.
Like, you have to include the follow-up.
Man, yeah, in the first 3 games of this series, he gave up 12 goals. Otter.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, right? I mean, like, you know, your offense.
On a scale 1 to 10, give me what Otter was playing in the series.
6.
Okay.
You know, 5. I mean, he was just kind of there. He had moments like third period, game 1. He was playing at a 12 out of 10. Played amazing.
Yeah. Let me ask you this follow-up, a hockey question. What have you done for me lately? How much does that matter in hockey? Should it matter, unless you're Patrick Waugh, what he did against the Jets?
Goalies go to slumps. They do.
Right?
They go to slumps. You know,
I feel like hockey has like the shortest memory.
Against Winnipeg, he allowed 2-3-2-1-3-1. All right? So never more than 3. Against Edmonton, 3-3-6-2-2.
Dallas, by the way, they were tied for the 2nd fewest goals per game in the playoffs this year. So, I mean, they weren't scoring at a high enough rate, and they finished the postseason. Now, even though they got to the Western Conference Finals, they finished the postseason minus 15 on their goal differential.
Wow. All right. We now have some drama. Who would have thought 2 weeks ago we're talking about all this drama? Could Pete DeBoer be in trouble? Maybe it's a stupid question. Let us know. 877-881-1053. There are some Stars fans who don't think it is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.